a couple of points for reflection, and then we'll pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and I'll be available for confessions until we have benediction around 4. When I was looking through Faustina's diary, I ran across this prayer, and she says, "When I look into the future, I am frightened. But why plunge into the future? Only the present moment is precious to me, as the future may never enter my soul at all. It is no longer in my power to change, correct, or add to the past. For neither sages nor prophets could do that. And so what the past has embraced, I must entrust to God. O present moment, you belong to me, whole and entire. I desire to use you as best I can. And although I am weak and small, you grant me the grace of your omnipotence. And so trusting in your mercy, I walk through life like a little child, offering you each day this heart, burning with love for your greater glory." What struck me most in that line is it's really her way of resolving and asking God's mercy on her worries and anxieties. And it points out that most of the time our worries and our anxieties have to do with the past or the future. And you know, when I look into the future, I am frightened. There's uncertainty. The world is uncertain. I don't know what's going to happen next. And that can bring about a lot of fear, especially when we forget our Lord's omnipotence and our Lord's power and our Lord's presence. Or we forget that our Lord is trustworthy. And he will remain trustworthy. The second thing that stood out maybe even more was, it's no longer in my power to change, correct, or add to the past, for neither sages nor prophets could do that. And so, what the past has embraced, I must entrust to God. And so it can be useless, and sometimes we all get caught up in thinking about the past, or thinking about what could have been different, or what could I have done differently. And I know in my own life that there were years where I was caught up in what I could have done differently. And I was actually talking to my brother about this over Easter, and how when my parents got divorced, I was a cadet at West Point, and I had this sort of initial thought, which was I should quit the military academy and go home and raise my siblings. And then after getting advice from different people, I ended up staying. But then every time that something went wrong in one of my siblings' lives, I would have this intense guilt and kind of go back to that moment and think about, like, how would my life be different if I would have done that? Or how would my life have been different if my parents had never gotten divorced? Or how would my life be different if, you know, I had lived here instead of there? Or if I had a relationship with this person instead of that person? And the more that I stayed in that place, the more it revealed the anxieties in my own heart. And it was really a veiled way of denying God's mercy. And it was a veiled way of forgetting that our Lord can reconcile everything, even if I had gone astray in some way in making that decision, that our Lord can redeem it. You know, and he has redeemed it, and he continues to redeem it. And then in my own experience, the more I've been able to step back from that, the more our Lord is able to do in the lives of all of my siblings. And there's great joy in watching him do that. And sometimes it's, as I referred to in my homily today, it's getting caught up in maybe holding on to old sins, or holding on to unforgiveness, or holding on to hurts from our past that we haven't quite yet surrendered to our Lord's mercy. And those things too can get in the way. of just stepping back and allowing our Lord, like, to pour out his mercy upon us and upon each person that we care about. And when we learn to do that, the only thing that matters is the present moment. The only thing that matters is Jesus is real and he's right in front of us. And as long as he's right in front of us, everything's going to be okay. As long as he's the center of my life, everything's going to be okay. And there's no worry, there's no need to worry about what will happen tomorrow or what happened yesterday, because the Lord is here. Right? Because the Lord is here. And when we come to know him in that way, we have this greater desire to stay there. John Paul II writes about that in his document on mercy specifically. And he says in this document, therefore the church professes and proclaims conversion. And conversion to God always consists in discovering his mercy. That is, in discovering that love which is patient and kind is only the Creator and Father can be, the love to which the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ is faithful to the uttermost consequences in the history of his covenant with man, even to the cross and to the death and resurrection of the Son. Conversion to God is always the fruit of the rediscovery of this Father who's rich in mercy. And so the more that we encounter mercy, the more our hearts are changed and the more our hearts are converted. He goes on to say, authentic knowledge of the God of mercy, the God of tender love, is a constant and inexhaustible source of conversion, not only as a momentary interior act, but also as a permanent attitude, as a state of mind. Those who come to know God in this way, who see him in this way, can live only in a state of being continually converted to him. They live therefore in statu conversionis, and it is this state of conversion which marks out the most profound element of the pilgrimage of every man and woman on earth in statu viatoris. That when we come to know our Lord in that way, we can't help but be in a state of continually being converted to him. That when we come to know his mercy, when we come to know his love, the only thing that matters is falling more deeply in love with him. The only thing that matters is going deeper. The only thing that matters is that he has more of my heart. And that marks out everything in our life. And he uses that language that we make a shift from statu viatoris to statu conversionis, or the state of journeying to the state of conversion. And instead of thinking about life as I'm here and I need to get here, we simply think about, okay, my heart is here and my heart needs to fall more in love with our Lord. And as we do that, again, we experience peace in our hearts, and all of our worries, all of our anxieties can simply melt away. And it's possible to fall so in love with our Lord that sin is no longer an option for us. Because all of our needs and all of our desires get met by him. And that is the grace that we pray for. Every single Divine Mercy Sunday, we pray for that grace to fall so in love with our Lord that nothing else matters. And so as we spend this next hour in prayer, and as we pray the chaplet, just invite you to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to your own hearts, like, what part of your heart needs his mercy? It might just sound like, come Holy Spirit, come Holy Spirit, come Holy Spirit. Come Holy Spirit and reveal to me the place in my heart or the place in my history that's most in need of God's mercy. And then just ask him to show you that there. If there are other people that also need that, people in your own families, people that are friends, people in the parish, to just ask that they experience our Lord in that way. And if it's his will that they experience us in that way, as we become more united to our Lord and as we become more converted, we start to speak the words that he speaks and to act the way that he acts. After praying the chaplet, I'll be available for confessions again until we have benediction at around 4 o'clock.